Join us in singing a hymn about Pentecost. Holy Spirit, come with power, number 26 in the Blue Book. Please stand.
Good morning. It's wonderful to see so many people here this morning on this beautiful day. Are there any guests that would like to be introduced today? I see one hand at the back there. Wonderful. Your brother and sister-in-law from Abbotsford, welcome here. Anyone else would like to be introduced? Well, welcome to all who are visiting with us this morning. It's time now for the children's story. If there are any children here, I invite you to come forward.
Jesus was alive, he promised his disciples and everyone that loved him that he would send help. And on this, with this Sunday that we're remembering, the day that the Holy Spirit came down. And our church very often likes to celebrate that with a baptism. Baptism is when somebody decides to tell everybody that they love Jesus and they want to be part of a church so the church can help them be their best kind of people. And I think lots of you sitting here are related to the people that we are very excited to welcome to join our congregation. You've been coming to church lots, but now your mom and dad and your aunt and uncle are saying to everybody, yep, we love you too, and we want to be part of us. So I think that's amazing. So today, there's lots to watch. So we'll make the story short, and we'll just have a prayer, and then we'll move back and see what we found. God, thank you for David and Jackie, and thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit to help us all be better. Amen. Off you go.
Jacqueline, I think we can all understand the reasons requested that the baptism piece occur early in the service. Children want to be present, active, and gain attention. So that's why we're doing this so early. And I thought that I needed to talk to you a little bit before we went ahead with the baptism. So that's the reason for the order. So I invite you. Our God, as we contemplate some things that the Bible teaches us and that we consider and think about and apply to our lives, and as we think about the question of baptism, we want to pray that your Spirit would be very present and guiding our thoughts. In Jesus' name. So this morning, we expect, it's hard to imagine at this point it not happening, we expect to conduct a water baptism in our worship service. This is not an everyday occurrence, and it is a significant event in the life of the church, so it deserves some reflection. I spent considerable time this past week reading about the history of baptism, theological ideas about baptism in general, and theological ideas of the early Anabaptists in regard to baptism. And I did that because I was asking the question in my mind, why does the church persist in this ritual of baptism? And perhaps you asked that question too. And maybe not. Maybe there's nobody here who asked that question. But maybe you do. And so let's consider the religious history of baptism briefly. The Old Testament contains no reference to baptism. So the biblical story brings baptism to our attention only with the coming of Jesus. Now, in literature outside of the Bible, we do find some references to a religious ritual of baptism in other religions and cultures dating back to Old Testament times. We also understand that the Jewish religion had what was called mikvah, some kind of water symbol to suggest cleansing and so on, a ritual. And so likely there was some understanding of baptism as a ritual at the time that we first encounter it in the Bible. We read about baptism first in the Gospels, when John the Baptist was calling people to repent of their sins, and then baptizing them in commemoration of their repentance. Jesus came to see what John was doing, and Jesus was baptized by John there in the Jordan River. The fact that Jesus, the sinless Son of God, was baptized gives us a clue that his baptism signified something very different than what was signified as John baptized these people in the river. The baptism of Jesus was likely a sign that he was committing himself to participate in the mission that God had for him on this earth, and perhaps also saying something about the power of God being present with him as he engaged in it. There is one other example of baptism in the Gospels. In John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, John comments that there were baptisms occurring as people came to believe in Jesus. And he says that Jesus himself did not do the baptizing. His disciples did. It's an interesting, just little two-verse story there in John chapter 4. Then, there are no other examples of baptism in the Gospels. Jesus, however, in his concluding message to the disciples, or one of his concluding messages to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, gave instructions that they should baptize people. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In Then not long after that, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came with power, Peter preached a sermon in which he urged the listeners to respond to the message of Jesus with faith and to be baptized. The story in Acts tells us that 3,000 people were baptized on that day. And then the ongoing accounts in the book of Acts tell us that the people who decided to follow the way of Jesus continued to be baptized. So that is the essential biblical history. We recognize that the early church took the instruction of Jesus as recorded in Matthew chapter 28 seriously and literally. When people decided to be followers of Jesus, they should be baptized. Throughout the Christian church's history, it has continued to practice baptism for the followers of Jesus. Now, beyond understanding that it is directed by Jesus himself, and I suppose that should be enough reason, why does the church continue this practice? So in responding to that question, I went back to Peter's sermon, the sermon that we'll hear about in our scripture reading later in the service. We're going to read only the first part of the sermon. Later in the sermon, after Peter has convinced many listeners that they need to respond to Jesus, the listeners ask what they should do. Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So it seems to me that Peter is including baptism as one of the elements of the overall decision to follow Jesus. All the things that we're called to and that are invited, he includes it as one of those pieces. Based on all the teaching about following Jesus in the New Testament, we do not conclude that baptism is a requirement to be a follower of Jesus. We're not going to say that unless you're baptized, you cannot be in relationship with Jesus. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. So I don't think that Peter meant for a statement to be taken that way. But it's interesting that to be baptized is included in the same sentence as repent and receive the Holy Spirit. I think that Peter meant to communicate that baptism was a normal way to indicate one's decision to follow Jesus. So it follows that for us, baptism is a sign of our decision to turn away from sinful desires, choices, and toward living in the way of Jesus. It is one way that we publicly identify with Jesus and announce our decision to follow Jesus in life. Returning to the story in Acts chapter 2, when Peter finishes the sermon, those who accept his message are baptized. The text says that about 3,000 were added to their number that day. The phrase "their number" would seem to refer to the Church of Jesus in Jerusalem. That suggests that baptism included the idea that these 3,000 people were identifying with the church. So in the Anabaptist church's tradition, at least, this idea has always been emphasized, that baptism is a sign indicating a desire to be identified with the local church and to live out God's mission in community with other followers of Jesus. And so the Christian church continues with this ritual of baptism. In a few minutes, we'll proceed with the baptism of David and Jacqueline. Now, maybe I should say something about how we, because there are some among us who are visitors, who are perhaps new to this, I'll say something about how we typically perform baptism. Our theological guiding document, the Confession of Faith and Mennonite Perspective, does not specify how baptism should be performed. Some Christian denominations specify a mode of baptism, but we have not done so historically. We probably most often baptize by pouring water on the heads of those being baptized. And I think there's some rich symbolism there. We can see this pouring as symbolizing a cleansing of our lives, and also, on Pentecost Day, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the lives of those who follow Jesus. So with those comments about our biblical and historical understandings about baptism, I hope provided you with an understanding of why we continue with baptism thousands of years after the first baptisms recorded in Acts. It might seem archaic to some, but we view it as a meaningful continuation of a Christian ritual that signifies important realities in Christian life. David and Jacqueline responded to my general invitation for anyone to participate in a series of classes in preparation for baptism some months ago. Now, you may recall that the invitation was made in sort of a wide-open sense that anybody who wanted to come and explore our understandings of faith as a congregation could come. But David and Jacqueline came. It was a bit of a unique experience, I think, for all of us. One married couple coming together to process ideas and think about Christian faith. And it was good. And so they're now going to share with you regarding their personal journeys of faith.
Good morning. I'm going to speak first. Hopefully that goes okay. People that know me, I cry very easily, so we'll see how I get through this. You know my name. I'm Jacqueline Regier-Weems, and I've been in this church since starting to date David, and he welcomed me to come with him here and join him here. So it's been a long time. We've been together for 15 years, and we just recently had our 11th wedding anniversary, and we were married on the stage. So it definitely doesn't feel like this is a new place for me. Very significant and happy memories have taken place already in this building, in this community, and with many of you being a part of that. Before I get into a few things, I just want to welcome some family that came specially today for Dave and I, and some friends that don't normally attend this church, but wanted to obviously show support and love for us, so thank you for coming. I'm sorry, I didn't introduce them individually during the opening. So my mother and father, Dieter and Diana, are here today. And much of my story begins like anybody else's, how you grew up. And they raised my sister and I, Kendra, in a very loving and Christian home in East St. Paul. We grew up going to church at First Mennonite. And that is the kind of special link I get to have with Front Suite being here now. And okay. So going to church, going to Sunday school, being a part of programs was really normal for us. Praying before bed, before meals, talking about Jesus, these are all things that just kind of happened in our home. And I don't remember a time where the Christian faith was formally introduced. It was just something that was always present. And that's how David and I are trying to raise our three children as well. As my sister and I grew up, we got the opportunity to go to Westgate for school. And as a teenager, this would probably be a time in our life where lots of questions with faith came up. And it was a wonderful place to explore, learn, ask those questions, and feel safe. And strengthen a lot of beliefs and really figure out who you were and who you wanted to be as a young adult. I was lucky enough to have many amazing teachers, elementary, yes, but especially junior high school, and that's my profession today. I teach grade one. A huge part of that being influences and inspiration from my growing up. No, I don't teach in a religious school, but I always like to think that a lot of these values and beliefs I have hopefully make me a better teacher, even if I can't always express certain things that
I believe in, but I think it makes me have a really open heart. For many different kids that have walked into my classroom over the years. Oh great, this next part's not going to get any easier for me. So, as a child in elementary, my sister isn't here today, but she would attest, probably the first memory of really, I wouldn't say having faith tested, but maybe having it rattled a bit and leaning on things like prayer, church, and family came. Came when my dad had a very serious snowmobile accident. He can give you details. He loves to give details about it. But he's here today, so all is good. But he spent the better part of a year learning how to walk again and coming out of a wheelchair, having a cane, and there was lots of changes in our home at the time. And obviously a lot of stress and worry, but we were so fortunate to have so many amazing people around us. And so, as a kid thinking back, that's probably this first feeling of this family that kind of gathers around you and tries to protect you and prays for you and cares about you and loves you, and how that all comes together being a part of a church and a faith community. Over the years, my mom has battled two bouts of cancer. Pancreatic cancer, breast cancer, and courageously made through both, as well as even more recently when we've had my mother-in-law, Erica, do the same with her breast cancer. And I know both women would share how awesome it is to have this family around you. Seeing those kinds of things for others and within our own family, David and I have actually talked for many years about doing this and about how we wanted to make this official. We felt these feelings in our heart for a long time. But unfortunately, like a lot of people would say, life is busy. And we first got married, we said, I had one more year of university left, and we thought the following year would be a great year to take baptism classes. And then I got a job, and I was very stressed out, and his job was changing. And we said, okay, maybe the next year. And we kind of did that a few times. And this past year, I said, David, now we have three kids, and I don't foresee next year or the year after being a less busy, easier year. Why are we waiting? Why aren't we just doing this? And David actually wasn't sure if he wanted to do it with me at first. He thought that would be a bit weird, and he probably thought I might take over the conversation, which sometimes I do. So it was a trial run at first, and we told Marv this, and I think he admitted he hadn't ever done a couple before, so it was different. And after the first time, we kind of left, and I went, so David, was that okay? Can you do this with me again, or does one of us have to drop out and do it next year? Which would seem really weird, but he agreed. He said, yeah, no, it was good, and we had amazing conversations, so thank you to Marv. While I have my composure right now, thank you to Marv. He led us through really fun afternoons where we almost always went way longer than we would expect to, but because our conversation flowed and we asked questions of each other and sought out some answers, but more often still had questions, I feel like. But everything was, it was interesting, it was fun, and I think it gave us a chance to really connect with Marv, which was really special for both of us. The last few weeks, and some of you may know this, but my dad has been in the hospital for a few weeks, and he just got out on Tuesday. So part of my question this past week or two was, oh my goodness, are we still going to go and have this day? What would that be like? Would it feel? Would it feel right? I'm happy that my dad is here. Again, he'd like to tell stories about his health, so if you want to ask him what's going on, he's a big question mark right now. They think maybe he contracted something on winter holidays in really hot tropical places, but they're not quite sure. But he's doing well now, so another reason why this just feels right. God is good. And we feel very, very blessed. I'll just say two more things. David is obviously my other half, and us making this decision together has been really amazing. We have three awesome kids, Sophia, Luca, and Sarah, whom you all know running around here. And joining the church and committing ourselves to being baptized today is something that we've thought of for a long time. We want to lead by example. And what better way can we do that than to make this very official in our lives? We wanted our kids to be raised in a similar home, in a similar way to how we were raised, because we're proud of that. And so this day is very, very special to us. So, like I previously said, but I'm excited to be here. I'm happy you're all here to witness this. And this is definitely our next step. I know there's still a lot of growing and learning for me to do over the years, but I'm happy it can take place here. And it's comforting to know that this is already such a home for my family. So this day hopefully will root me deeper into my Christian faith, give me comfort as I continue to grow and grow with my own family. And I really look forward to seeing you all on Sundays to come. So thank you.
All right. Good morning. I just started a joke, but I can't do it now. So, okay. I definitely wasn't like crying, but I guess I'm going to cry too. Okay. So I've grown up in the church my entire life. My faith life started in Sunday school, devotion time with family, and in boys' brigades. I remember accepting Jesus into my heart in boys' brigades. I was laughing doing this, and now I'm crying. So, so we went up on a camping trip, and what the camping trip is they take these boys, they take them from their parents, their bubs, and jump in a canoe, paddle into the deep end of the woods. We cook our own food, and we're all really young still at the time, and the whole time looking over our shoulder for bears and making sure we're all good. And the leaders talk about Jesus, and his love, understanding, and protection. So the conversion rate is pretty high at that time. So but I was very excited to make the commitment and have a close relationship with God. My parents, along with my oldest, have been the strongest faith role models for me. They taught me to always pray and be thankful to God for good things that the dirt would be if it's in rough times as well. So, thank you. God has blessed me with some amazing friends as well who have influenced me closer to Him. He's helped me grow as a person and as a Christian. And through these friendships, and through one of my friends, I met Jacqueline. I'm so blessed to have a partner like her in my life and to share my life with. It makes going through a faith life so much easier to have someone to partner with that. Again, I was so skeptical about doing it together. I thought it's an individual thing. You have to do it by yourself. And I said, well, that's Marv. Marv will help us out. And Marv said, sure, you guys can do it. And I said, shoot. So I said, okay, well, let's do the first one and see how it goes. And I was shocked on how well it went. And how it was, well, I'm not shocked at that, but very happy. And I tried to ask, and I said, well, no, it was really fun. And I think the time was great to have just time alone away from, I know we love our kids, obviously, but away from the kids, and just sit and chat and talk about God and ask Marv questions and ask and then Marv asked us questions and we had questions back. It was more, a lot of questions, which was great and helped us to really get to the point where we're excited about this and we wanted to do it, didn't know how to do it, obviously, or what the steps were, and I think we're very happy with the meetings we had and the conversations we had, and so thank you very much to Marv and thank you very much to the caregiving ministry for being our witnesses as well. It was a very unique thing we were able to do with him, and having my parents in ministry do as well was very, very exciting. So again, I use the word excited because I am very excited. It's something Jack and I have talked about for a long time doing, and having our children here as witnesses to as well is going to be great. I know Sophia and Luca are very excited to watch the kid waterboard our heads. So, and Jack and I are very committed to teaching our children to walk with Jesus, and yeah, we're like I said, we're very excited. Thank you very much.
Any of you wonder if I slipped them a little cash to drum up business? I appreciate that. So I was going to say a little something to you about the process we followed, because when we invited you to participate, what I set out was essentially for us to work our way through the Confession of Faith in Mennonite perspective. It's a little daunting in a way. There's 24 articles of faith in a 120-page booklet or something like that, and lots of scripture references and so on. And so I invited them to explore this with me. It could feel like this is kind of dull and, you know, long and a kind of a high expectation. And I'm aware that in some places baptism happens pretty easily and pretty quickly. And then in the history of the church, there's also examples of where they spent several years with baptismal candidates preparing them. And so we've got this wide range, and this is what I've settled with, and it was good. Now, they said that I don't remember what we might have said. I do recall that I had one married couple in a class once, but they didn't go all the way to me. They didn't join our church. Now, and so that was what we did as a group in preparation. And what we did at the end was we invited David and Jacqueline to come and join the caregivers at one of our meeting nights and share their stories there. And so the caregivers are serving as the witnesses, that is that sort of church tradition that we have. So they're serving that way. And now, in response to David and Jacqueline's faith stories, and in support of their desire to be baptized here at North Kelowna Mennonite Church, become a part of us that way, I invite you to signify your support and acceptance by rising to your feet. Now, if that's not possible for you to rise, you could do it by raising a hand or two in support. Thank you, folks. And you can be seated again. And so now I have some questions of commitment for David and Jacqueline. I'll ask the questions once each and ask you to respond to each question individually. Do you believe in God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, in Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit, giver of life? Do you place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and choose to follow Him as your Lord? Do you accept the Word of God as guide and authority for your life? And do you wish to be baptized on your profession of faith and to join this community of believers, engaging with them in living out God's mission for the church? I invite you to kneel on the carpet over here as we serve you. Jacqueline, on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you. And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. David, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, Jacqueline, in the name of Christ and the Church, I give you my hand and bid you to rise and walk in newness of life. By the same power that raised Christ from the dead, we welcome you as a sister in this congregation. May God bless you and make you a blessing in our midst. The peace of Christ be with you. I was going to ask you to be ready for this before, and I forgot. There is a little congregational statement printed in your bulletin that I would like you to read. You're inserting Jacqueline's name and calling her a sister. I think you can probably figure that out. But would you read our response of acceptance to her?
Congregation, we join together as companions seeking the way of Christ, bearing one another's burdens, and sharing our gifts with the world.
David, in the name of Christ and the Church, I give you my hand and bid you to rise and walk in newness of life by the same power that raised Christ from the dead. We welcome you as a brother in this congregation. May God bless you and make you a blessing in our midst. In the peace of Christ be with you. Lizzie to read cards that I prepared for David and Jacqueline on behalf of the congregation, and she'll also present them the baptism certificates.
Jacqueline, we, the North Kildonan Mennonite Church, rejoice that you have decided to be baptized as an expression of your commitment to following Jesus. We are grateful that you wish to be identified as a follower of Jesus Christ, choosing to serve him alongside us in this church. There, I'm trying to read Marv's writing here. Therefore, I envy you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12, 1 and 2. David, we, the North Kildonan Mennonite Church, Rejoice that you have decided to be baptized as an expression of your commitment to following Jesus. We are grateful that you wish to be identified as a follower of Jesus Christ, choosing to serve him alongside of us in this church. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, overcoming its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2.
Okay. My desire here was to have a prayer with David and Jacqueline as we conclude this. I think what we're going to do is step down and invite any of you who want to come and show support and encouragement by gathering around in circle of prayer to do so. Children involved. Wonderful. Let's pray. All-powerful God, we rejoice on this day for the work that you have done in the lives and hearts of David and John. We pray that you would grant the fullness of the Holy Spirit, a clean heart, a right spirit, the joy of salvation. We pray that you would guide them to be people in whom Christ is seen to live again. We pray that you would release the gifts that you have given to them as they choose to serve you. David and Jacqueline, may the God of peace be very present in your lives, encouraging you, guiding you, teaching. May your spirits, souls, and bodies be kept sound and blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who calls you his faithful.
Please turn in your hymnals to number 389, Take My Life. We'll sing verse 1, 3, and 6.
Feels late in the service to be doing this, but we will now have community life and sharing time. I'd like to draw your attention to a couple of announcements in the bulletin. Number one, Ed Redekop has been experiencing more pain. We do ask that you keep him and Adina in your prayers. We'd also like to wish the following couples blessings on their anniversary. Jake and Rita Kron celebrated their 60th anniversary on June the 6th. And Peter and Angela Rempel celebrated their 50th anniversary also on June 6th. So congratulations to both of you couples. I'd also like to draw your attention to number 5. As our programs wind up for another year, NKMC would like to take this opportunity to acknowledge and express their heartfelt thanks to the many dedicated Christian education workers, leaders, helpers, and volunteers in our congregations, which includes many, many people. Thank you for your faithful commitment to our church and to the community that we serve. We pray the Lord may continue to bless our church, our members, workers, and the community we serve. Is there anyone who would like to share anything at this time? We do have someone who can go with a mic. I see a hand at the back there.
We'd like to thank on behalf of the committee for the show and shine car show we had last Sunday. Thank you for all the volunteers, all the people that supported. The show and shine is Gary Martin's show and shine that we had. We raised $2,200 for the Concordia Foundation, and we're very thankful for all the people that came out to barbecue. Thank you to Carol for the wonderful calligraphy on the signs that you had. And we're hoping to have more participants next year and raise some money again for Concordia. Thank you.
Is there anyone? Oh.
Here. Just a report on my daughter Florence. It's looking like she's going to go back to work and improving and doing well. And another thing happened this week. My daughter-in-law got hospitalized and she got diagnosed with severe cancer. So I'm asking for prayers and support, and especially for a grudge.
Is there anyone else who'd like to share anything?
A prolonged service such as this means I'd be very rash if I had a sermon of my own. But Tempting as it is, I will not do it. On Friday, I returned home from the Seven Oaks Hospital. I'd been there for 5 weeks plus 2 days, and the difficulties seemed to be my legs were swollen and that was impeding my walk. So during that time, I received the records of treatment. During the time I was there, I received visitors, many of whom are from this church. There were three visitors from other denominations, gave me a chance to share my feelings, and they also shared their guts, so to speak. And I had an easy time of talking to others about the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of whether they're anything from Catholic to Pentecostal. And it tells me one thing, in the hospital at least, but probably elsewhere, the field is white unto harvest. It is time to get the people in. Thank you.
This is Adina Redekoff talking. I want to let you know that this is not in relationship to Ed. We received a call yesterday from our brother Rudy. He is the Andrea is his wife, and he let us know yesterday that their nephew Daniel Funk passed away. He's early 30s, he leaves a young wife and a one-year-old son, and Daniel passed away on his son's first birthday. So please, the whole family is in shock. Please support them with your prayer and keep them close. Thank you very much.
Just an update on the Youth Day at Birds Hill for parents. If youth want to meet in the right outside the kitchen after the service, we will gather there, change clothes, and then leave, and we will be back at 4:30, not 8. I hope I'm in bed by 8.
Anyone else who has any announcements to highlight or things to share at this time? I'd like to invite Lizzie back up. We will now do the graduation blessing.
Good morning. For those of you who are visiting here, I am Lizzie Schrog, the Faith Development Pastor, and I have been working with the youth. I started in November, so I'm still very new, but have enjoyed working with the youth who are graduating soon. So this is a blessing. There's kind of some explanation that I'll begin with before we get into the prayer of it. So one of the great gifts and blessings of the Christian tradition that was not named to me until I began to study practical theology in university, and I'm very fortunate that it was part of my lived experience of faith, and thus it was something that was very easy for me to understand, but that is the gift and the blessing of ritual. Rituals, which are composed of words and actions that we return to on a predictable basis, allow us to mark and enter into the transitions that are a part of the rhythm of our lives. Rituals allow us, amidst the joy and sorrow of ends and beginnings, to remember and see that God remains among us in the certainties and uncertainties of life. Today, we are surrounding ourselves with rituals. As a congregation, we have just assisted and experienced in the joy of the baptismal ritual, a time of marking the transformation in Christ that David and Jacqueline have begun and will spend the rest of their lives living into. For those of us who are baptized, it's a reminder of our own faith commitment and the liminal space we occupy as we strive towards newness in Christ, even as we stumble forth needing grace. For those who aren't baptized or aren't members, it remains an invitation to contemplate the role and the work of the church in the mystery and the awe of Christ. And later on in the service, we will partake in the ritual of communion, a return to Christ who moves and moves in us as we take, that we take as the church, a body that is both broken and holy. Indeed, that these rituals take place on this day itself, Pentecost Sunday, shows that rituals always point back towards God. In this case, as a reminder of the Holy Spirit poured out in invitation to all, welcoming, asking, and calling all creation into relationship with the one who has made and who abides. Right now, however, we are entering into a ritual to acknowledge one more transition. And although this transition is not outlined in Scripture explicitly, its localized and faithful nature earns it a spot among the rituals of the alive and adaptive Christian tradition. This morning, we are acknowledging the transition of four young people out of high school and into a world that will inevitably become bigger, pushing, challenging, and inviting each of them to grow and change and flourish. No longer will they spend their days under the authority and care of the educators to whom they have been entrusted. This is scary, and it points to the need for such a ritual as this to comfort parents, relatives, youth leaders. I don't know how Ben and Mitch are doing thinking about people graduating, but I'm sweating a little. This is big to watch people that I've grown to care about in such a short time be going off into the world. But it also helps the rest of the congregation that has watched much longer than I have these young people grow. And this transition is not a goodbye. It is anything but a goodbye. Rather, it is an acknowledgement that the roles these four play in the church and in the world are shifting and are changing. It is an opportunity to remind each of them that as life enters the unknown, there is a diverse and caring body right here that will always be here to hold them, love them, and each time they walk through the doors, which we all hope will be often, welcome them home. Alex, Alyssa, and Rory, please come forward. And just a note, Christian would be among us, but he is the guy that helps people load their lumber at Lowe's, which I think is a delightful job. Incredibly helpful. So he's there this morning, but we'll remember him. As is our church's tradition, each year high school graduates receive a mug. As you take these with you today, and I hope, always pack them among your belongings as you move wherever life takes you, I hope they become a physical reminder of the ways in which you are loved here and of the broken and beautiful faith we pray always clings to you and you to it. As you sip your coffee in the mornings, or to be more honest, during those late afternoons and evenings when your energy dives and due dates loom, or as you share a pot of tea with a friend, and again, as busy as life can be, there is always time for a pot of tea and a friend, and as you sip cocoa after a cold commute home, be reminded of that which fills you up. The concept of an empty vessel is one rich with Christian symbolism. As you navigate these rocky and wild waters of young adulthood, know that there will be times you feel empty. You are not alone. During those times, pull out this mug. Invite a friend over. Pour a cup of coffee and crack open scripture. Make some hot cocoa. Call your parents. And remember that you are loved beyond understanding by a creator who made the mountains and forests and decided the world needed one of you too. Remember that there is nothing so broken God cannot bring healing and restoration. Remember that grace is enough. So now we'll do a similar laying on the hands and blessing. So if those who are able and who would like could come forward, we will pray.
Okay. Just let us pray. Oh, magnificent and majestic God, thank you. Thank you for the gift of Alex, Alyssa, Aurora, and Christian. Thank you for this church, for a congregation that has walked alongside them and watched them grow. Thank you, too, for the wisdom and gifts each has brought to this congregation, and for the chance they now have to continue in that walk as they navigate a new place in life. As they go forth from the place of adolescence, may they be given enough hardship to be challenged towards grace, enough sorrow to learn true joy, and enough laughter to live into your holy gift of life. May each one of us know you and seek you as we walk, holding up and being held by one another. In your name we pray.
I invite you to bow with me again in prayer as we pray a prayer of God's people. God of wind and flame, blow into our lives. Ignite the fire of hope, fan the flames of possibility. Transform us into a people who share your love with a world in pain, a people who proclaim your hope into a world given to despair. A people who live as though the world can be changed into the kingdom that is to come. God of Pentecost, God who speaks with many tongues, God who makes himself known in many ways, fill us with your Spirit, and every morning hear the prayers we are using in many different languages. We pray in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the one who was called Christ, whose life, death, and resurrection show us the path to the kingdom. Amen. The scripture from today is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem. There were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raising his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
So we've just heard the reading of the account of the Holy Spirit coming in power during the time of the Jewish festival of Pentecost. We marvel at the way the Holy Spirit gave the impetus for the Church of Jesus Christ to be initiated. To a group of frightened followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit descended and gave them courage to proclaim the message of Jesus. In particular, the Apostle Peter was energized to preach a dynamic sermon to the crowd of people gathered for the festival and who had heard the followers of Jesus speaking in all kinds of various languages. We noted the result of that sermon earlier in our preparation for baptism. 3,000 people believed that day, became part of the church. The story goes on to tell us about the way the church functioned at that point in Jerusalem. In chapter 2, verse 42, we are told that one of the things the church did was to break bread. They ate together. This was more than just a communal meal and people getting together for a potluck. No, the commentators that I consulted agree that this phrase, "they broke bread," means that they were thinking about the death and resurrection of Jesus. The church that began at Pentecost emphasized the act of remembering Jesus' death and resurrection. And so on this day of Pentecost, we remember that Pentecost is a day for the church. We remember the birth of the church. We remember the Holy Spirit empowering ordinary men and women to do extraordinary things for God. We recognize the power of the Holy Spirit that continues to fill the church and the people of God. On this day of Pentecost, we remember also that communion is an act of the church. In communion, we declare ourselves to be a body of believers working together in God's mission. As we share in communion, we see ourselves continuing the practice of the church that began when the Holy Spirit came with power. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west, and from north and south, and sit at table in the kingdom of God. When our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior bids us come. And so, as we identify as followers of Jesus and recognize that we are living in right relationship with God and each other, we come to the table of our Lord. We pray. Holy God, Lord of creation, you formed the earth from chaos. You molded us in your image. With mercy higher than the mountains and grace deeper than the seas, you called and led your people. When we chose to flee your calling, you came to us through the life and death of the Messiah, Jesus, and adopted us as your own. With bread and wine, Jesus sealed your covenant with us. Gathered at his table, we remember his life, lived and offered up for others. In dying, he set us free from death. In rising, he opened the way to eternal life. Send now your Holy Spirit on us and on this meal, that we might feed on Christ and share his bounty with the world. We ask this through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I think I'll invite our servers to step forward and join us here at the table. We remember the body of Jesus Christ. The bread before us symbolizes the body of Jesus. Body given in death for the forgiveness of our sin. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And so we take this bread as a symbol of the body of Jesus and eat it, remembering the body of Jesus given for us. So when the bread is served to you, you may take a piece of bread, the ordinary bread from the outside, or the gluten-free option in the middle of in the cup in the middle of the tray. And then hold on to it until we've all received, we pray together and eat together as a sign of our togetherness, our unity.
Thank you.
and we all received the bread. Let us then pray and eat together. God of love and grace, we remember today the body of Jesus given in love for humanity. And so we eat this bread, thanking you for your gift and your love. Amen. We remember also the blood of Jesus. The wine or the juice before us symbolizes the blood of Jesus, blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11 again, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we take the cup as a symbol of the blood of Jesus. And we drink it, remembering the gift of love given to us in the blood of Jesus. And so as the cup is served to you, you may choose a cup of wine from the outer rings or juice from the inner rings, and then again hold on to it until we have all received and we take together. Join together in prayer and then drink together. Once again, our loving God, we hold this juice or wine in our hands, remembering Jesus, remembering his death and bloodshed, and that death that signified his love for us, that signified your desire to see humanity living in relationship with you. And so we drink it, thanking you for your invitation, your welcome, your call. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray together a concluding prayer. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another, and made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and walk in the resurrection of Christ our Savior. We ask this through our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. We'll sing a final song, and then we're going to ask David and Jacqueline to come to the back and be available to be, whatever, received by you as we conclude the service.
And just one quick announcement. There is a card for new membership at the back for David and Jacqueline, and we invite everyone to sign that, please. And since Marv has done the benediction, that's fantastic. I invite you to stand as we sing our final song.
Number 528, we'll sing verse 1 and 3.